Our scripture lesson this evening comes from the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, selected verses. Let us listen to God's word. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again, he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As many of you know, our theme for Lent this year has been Incarnation on the Cross. God is still with us. We've been reflecting on how the good news that we celebrate on Christmas Eve, that in the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God takes on human form and dwells with us so that we might know just how much God loves us. We've been reflecting on how this same good news is true for us all year round, and especially during the season of Lent and the events of Holy Week, and most definitively, on the cross. 3 weeks ago, we talked about how God is with us in community, especially when we live into the community that God calls us to be as a church. We become the body of Christ here on earth for one another and for the whole world. But tonight, I'd like to go in the opposite direction and consider how God is with us in solitude. Solitude is the state of being alone or remote from others. Solitude can be both a positive and a negative thing. On the positive side, many of us need and seek out time alone to rest and reflect and recharge our batteries away from the demands and distractions of daily life. This distance often helps us get more deeply in touch with our own thoughts and feelings, discover new perspectives, and find a certain sense of peace and contentment. I'm an introvert, so I totally get this. I even have a pair of socks with a picture on them of a woman drinking from a mug, could be coffee or maybe tea, next to a bowl of popcorn, a stack of books, her computer, a cat, surrounded by potted plants and the words, "Go away. I'm introverting." Along with this more positive vein, Psychology Today defines solitude as the state of being alone without being lonely, and often leading to self-awareness. As many monks and mystics throughout history attest, solitude can also lead us to a deeper awareness of God's presence with us. In fact, Jesus himself regularly withdrew from the crowds and his own disciples to be by himself and to reconnect with God and the mission that God had given him. We see the other side of solitude, however, in our scripture lesson tonight and in the events of Good Friday. Here we see a solitude that is marked by loneliness, isolation, abandonment, even despair. The events of Maundy Thursday include Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples and his washing the disciples' feet before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. But this year, I was struck by Jesus' experience in the garden. Even though he has brought the disciples with him to keep him company as he prays and prepares himself for what is to come, it is clear that Jesus is alone here. In fact, the disciples fall asleep and so are not present with Jesus at all as he wrestles with his coming trial. Their sleep is a metaphor for the complete lack of awareness on their part of what is coming and their total inability to understand or join Jesus in it. And so Jesus is left alone, all by himself, with the foreboding future and probably even his own fear. No wonder we are told that he becomes grieved and agitated. There is no one who understands what he is going through, or who can offer him some little gesture of comfort or reassurance. He is on his own, surrounded by sleeping disciples and silent olive trees. Jesus will continue to be alone and isolated as events unfold. He will stand alone on trial before religious leaders and government officials with no one to defend him. Abandoned by his disciples, he will be beaten, crucified, and mocked, even by the two criminals who are crucified with him. On the cross, feeling abandoned even by God, Jesus will cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And yet, even here, in this most desperate and painful solitude, Jesus seeks, and I want to believe that he finds, God's presence with him. As the incarnate Word of God, Jesus is God's presence, even on the cross. And because Jesus himself experienced the depths of human pain, despair, and abandonment, we can trust that God will be with us also, even when we are lonely, abandoned, forsaken, hopeless. As I've sat with this story this week, as well as persevering through several major losses, struggles, and challenges over the past couple months, the words of Psalm 139 keep coming to my mind. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. I like to think of this psalm as God's Find Friends app. It's kind of like the one that all of my family members have on our cell phones. And although sometimes it's a little unnerving when my parents call and ask me why I'm not where they thought I should be, it's also comforting to know that someone out there is keeping an eye on me and those I love. Although we may not always feel comfortable with the idea of God tracking our every move, ultimately this is good news for us, especially when we are feeling alone or lonely, abandoned, or afraid of what the future holds. Friends, as we follow Jesus into the darkness of this night and the days to come, as we gather around the Lord's table and wash one another's feet, may God's presence go with us and be our guiding light, even in our solitude. Amen.